Hi, this is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. What do punk, gospel, jazz, and Andalusian duende music have in common? They all bring an ecstatic reaction for musicians playing the songs and people dancing to it. It's a primal response dating back thousands of years, with music bringing joy, anger, sadness, and inspiring sex and even violence from its listeners. Are these ecstatic reactions still around today? And are the notes and rhythms we hear now an echo of ancient rituals or primordial sound waves? Echo of Everything is an exquisite new documentary about music and how it affects us emotionally, spiritually, and scientifically. A highly personal film, it incorporates expressionistic scenes in black and white, philosophic interviews, and intense musical performances recorded in super saturated color. And running throughout is a constant stream of sound and rhythm recorded around the world. Echo of Everything is written and directed by Calgary-based filmmaker and animator Cam Christensen, known for his award-winning features like I Have Seen the Future and Wall. It had its world premiere at Hot Docs Canadian International Documentary Festival and is streaming now online. And I'm very pleased to have Cam Christensen here with me in person to tell us more about Echo of Everything. Hi, Cam.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, pleasure.
So let's start with ecstatic music. What is it and how does it affect people?
Well, I think many people have been to like large rock concerts or things like that and maybe have felt themselves sort of transported into what they call like a group experience or... There's a fancy word for it, which is ego disillusion, where you may have sort of lost yourself in a moment and it becomes kind of joyous and liberating. To me, that's sort of an ecstatic music experience. But, music has been is so intricately related to human history that, you know, this goes back. The ancient Greeks had this, the maenads, they were known to, it was worshippers of the god Dionysus, and it's female worshippers, and they were what was called history's earliest ravers, and because the name literally translates into the raving ones, and they were so intense about dancing and music and drinking, and that I love the description of it, that they literally danced, and the god of Dionysus, the symbol is a bull, and so they would actually literally rip apart a live bull and eat it in a frenzy in the middle of like a musical drunken spectacle. I mean, the visuals of that are just unbelievable to me to think of, that you could get into such a state with music that you would literally rip a bull apart and eat it.
And is it every type of music or only certain types of music?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think that's interesting. I never really thought about it in those terms. But I think that, of course, there's an incredible subjective nature to, you know, what music will take you into a transcendent state or trance-like states. I think generally rhythm is a really huge component of it. There's something rhythm is like the fundamental ingredient to music, and you know, so drumming. You know, many cultures have a sort of shamanistic rituals that go back to, you know, prehistory, of which it's always very common, you know, drumming and sort of getting people into these kind of like states that are transcendent.
Now, Echo of Everything is a loaded word. It's so big. Mm-hmm. And this actually is a very big movie, but you do mainly limit it to music. A lot of things, but about music. Now, what is it about music that affects you, and how did making a documentary about music help you?
Well, I came to music really late in life compared to many people. You know, I appreciated it, I listened to it, but I didn't play music until I turned 40. And it was a response to a death. My mother died, and it was kind of naturally a traumatic, sad event in my life. And I was really wanting a distraction, something to kind of elevate my mood and kind of make me not think about all these things so much. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to do something completely new that I've never done in my life. I went out and grabbed a guitar, and it was... I had incredibly low expectations around it. I had no... I was telling you know that if I could just play one song at a campfire without screwing it up, that was my entire goal. But it led me into this incredible chapter of my life, which was like I just became incredibly passionate about it. I'm like a super listener, a super appreciator of music, and I kept having all these like ecstatic experiences while I was playing it. And I also play with people who write incredibly beautiful songs, and I just get so moved by it that at a certain point I started thinking, like, what is going on with me? Like, I'm like, there's something beyond the norm that's happening here, and I decided I would investigate it. And so that was sort of the origin and genesis of the film.
And one type of music I'd never heard of before was called duende from... Is it from Spain? And it's something sort of like flamenco, but it's a type of emotional singing. Could you?
Yeah.
What is that, and how did you find out
okay,
about it?
Okay, so it's a concept, actually. Duende is not a musical genre, but it's a concept called the duende, which I encountered through Federico Garcia Lorca, which is famed as Spain's one of the most famous writers and poets. He also had ecstatic experiences like I did to music, but it was in terms of flamenco music, and then specifically cantajondo, which I can barely pronounce, but it's a specific type of Andalusian flamenco music, and it's incredibly soulful and heart-wrenching, and I experienced the passion of it. It is really moving, so I can completely understand. But the concept that I really identified with through Lorca is this concept of duende, which I think it puts its finger on something that I think was really hard to describe about music, because music has this ephemeral quality where, you know, a performer can ignite a room of people into like ecstatic or joyful moments that are just electric. But it has a real fickle quality where, you know, that performer can do it one night and then the next night go and play in front of a different audience and it falls flat and nobody knows why. It's like a spirit that kind of inhabits the room and nobody knows when it's coming, but we all feel it when it happens, and it's electric, but it's like a trickster. And anyway, I love that kind of description of it, because I felt like it really put its finger on something that I had experienced a lot with music.
One thing about the film I noticed, beginning with this scene where the film moves to Dakar, Senegal,
yeah,
and there are people doing a song and dance performance, and what I noticed was the colors of the clothes they were wearing is incredibly intense. Was this your decision to bring out the color, or was that just what it looked like under the sun?
Well, I did saturate the colors a bit, yeah, definitely. But on the other hand, it's true, their costumes are absolutely gorgeous, and the colors are spectacular. And that whole ritual, I was so thrilled to encounter it, because, like, as I said, I've been, you know, I was really investigating, like, what is it about music that brings people to ecstasy? What is it about music that's so cathartic? And I was looking for, you know, and I was talking about rhythm being such a fundamental aspect of music. So I was like, oh, I'd really like to do something that is, you know, part of that African tradition. And I encountered this group in Senegal, but they were telling me about these healing rituals that they have. And so I thought it was wonderful, because it kind of, you know, speaks to what I was just talking about, like how music almost predated language. It goes back to the essence of humanity, basically. But here's a modern example of it, that kind of references that, like, historic past, but is actually completely current. It was shot, like, literally a year ago, and they're still using music or rhythm in a similar way, which is they believe so much in the power of music and rhythm in particular that they believe it can cure us of, you know, psychological afflictions. That in the West, we would go to a psychologist, but in
get a prescription.
Yeah, but in Senegal, you go to the priestess and you say, oh, I'm having these problems. And then she goes, well, here's the prescription, which is a particular rhythm that you should have. And then they hold a public event, and then you dance to this rhythm, and you get yourself into like a trance, and then it's thought to be liberating and cures you of all these mental health issues. Which I just think that just that pure idea that they believe that music has this power to be so transformative, mentally, physically. I think it's absolutely beautiful, but it is actually completely true, and I've experienced it myself.
Another very different thread in your film are a series of short black and white scenes done in the style of like German expressionism, like silent movies from the 1920s.
Yeah.
Like Nosferatu.
Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Yeah. Where did these images come from? Are these dreams of yours? Are these fantasies?
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, I was inspired by Lorca because, of course, I don't know if you know, but Lorca was the gay lover of Salvador Dali.
Oh.
And so he...
Surreal.
Yeah. So the whole surrealism imagery. And, of course, Lorca and Dali made these incredible surrealist films. And with the famous, I can never pronounce his name right, but Brunel or something like that.
Buñuel?
Okay, thank you. You know, the one where he cuts the eye and all.
Chien Andalou, yeah.
Probably the most striking image in all of cinema. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely incredible, powerful images. Anyway, so I, of course, went into, you know, just did all this research on all those incredible films. And I was just, I love the imagery. But also, I was thinking a lot about how, you know, I really relied heavily on science to kind of explain, you know, the physical reality of music and why it's so powerful. But I thought also that, you know, music really affects me on a really unconscious level and on a sort of surrealist level in a way. Like, you know, often I was saying in the film how, like, I've been really moved by music in the moment and I don't even know why. I'm like burst into tears and I'm just like, that was so incredible. And then later you're like, oh my God, those lyrics were referencing things that were happening in my life that I just didn't quite put it all together in the moment. But my body could understand it through music on a deeper psychological level, but it took me a little bit much longer to kind of rationally understand it. So music just cuts through us in incredible ways. It's super profound. And so I felt that this sort of riffing off of sort of like surrealism and actually was kind of another dimension that sort of helped to shed a different light on music.
This is Daniel Garber on CIUT 89.5 FM, and I'm speaking with Cam Christensen about his new film, Echo of Everything. And just now you mentioned science. And one thing that's really interesting is you show how music can be portrayed in a scientific way and science can be portrayed musically. So specifically, you turn tones into visual waves. And at the same time, this is even more remarkable, you recorded a choir singing the notes that correspond to the sound waves generated by the Big Bang, like the creation of the universe or the period that followed that. Can you talk about that and what the hell was that?
Where did that come from? I mean, a lot of these things I discovered through books and things like that, but they're just such beautiful ideas that I just couldn't resist them, basically. But the first fellow you're talking about is a wonderful classical musician and jazz composer, artist named Dan Tepfer. And he's also a brilliant computer programmer who wrote an algorithm. He's really interested in harmonics and harmonic frequencies. And what that means is like literally like the physical nature of music. So when you hit a note, you know, certain frequencies sound beautiful together, and there's a kind of a mathematical underpinning that is called the harmonic series. And anyway, there's a whole bunch of physics related to all that. But anyway, Dan really loved the idea of visualizing these things, because the harmonic series and a lot of the nature of why music sounds good together, you know, we can't see it. We hear it, but we can't really visualize it. And so he developed an algorithm that allowed him to play in real time music, and it would visualize the harmonic frequencies as he's playing. So it's like in real time, he'll hit a minor triad, and you'll see a shape that is generated representing what a minor triad looks like. It's a bit complicated, maybe for a listener to understand quickly, but the long and the short of it is that you know, trying to visualize something that is not necessarily apparent, you know, because it's an auditory sensation. Yeah.
Anyway, wonderful film, intricate, detailed, and covers so much ground. Quite amazing. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate your enthusiasm. It's wonderful.
I've been speaking with Cam Christensen about his new documentary, Echo of Everything, that had its world premiere at Hot Docs. This is Daniel Garber the Movies on every Saturday mornings on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, Cultural.